Hi, I'm Cami.
And I'm Brittany.
And this is the Deeply Rooted Homeschool. The heart behind our podcast is to encourage and equip you as you start or continue your homeschool journey. If you're considering homeschooling or are new to homeschooling, we created this podcast with you in mind to answer common questions. If you're just finding us, you'll probably want to go back and catch up on our past episodes. Thanks for joining us today.
Welcome back. We are so excited to have these two particular guests on our podcast today. I have the privilege of introducing my friend Carly. Carly is one of the first families, her family is one of the first families to join the community that I'm a part of, that me and Cami are a part of. And it actually was me and Carly. Like, we were the start of this community. We went to a meeting to learn about classical education. We fell in love with it, and there was no room for us, but it was, you know, we really need you to kind of start a new branch of this so that more families can take part in this type of community. And so we did. The two of us just paired up and we made room for more families. And I don't think I could have done it with anybody else, because Carly is one of those that has that personality that she just shines. She just goes all in. She jumps all in on things, and especially when community is involved. If it is community minded, Carly is all in. She's very energetic, and yeah, I don't know. I don't know how else I would, you know, what other adjectives I would use to describe.
She's just extra. She's extra. She's all the good things.
All of the good things. She's all of the good things. But she's very community minded, and anybody that's around her sees that and they feel that. And so I'm very excited about that.
And then I also have the privilege of introducing my friend Casey. And I'm so excited that Casey is here tonight, because if it wasn't for our podcast, we would not be friends. I would not know her. And Casey actually reached out to us through our podcast Facebook page, asking different questions about curriculum and different things. And we had some conversation. And then she had recently moved to our area, and she had some friends in common with us. So she knew who we were and what we were doing. And she actually, it was just such a God thing, because she showed up to one of our, we have a standing park day. We've talked about that on the podcast before. Showed up to one of our standing park days. And I remember Brittany was not there that day that I met Casey. And I remember Marco Polo and Brittany after we left. And I was like, okay, Casey's going to be great. Like, she's going to be such a great fit for our community. And like, her girls are amazing. And it was just like instant connection, which is just such a God thing. And so it's really amazing for me that Casey is sitting here to talk to us about community.
It's definitely a full circle moment. Oh, man. It's so crazy.
There's kind of like, there's a lot of emotion about it.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're so right. Yeah. Instant connection. I'm very thankful that you're a part of our community. So Carly, back to Carly's family, they suffered a sudden medical emergency this past year with her husband. It was, to have somebody who is in, I'd say, near perfect health, suffer something so traumatic and so sudden, it knocked them off of their feet for a little while. And our community had the privilege of wrapping our arms around them and loving on them in this time. And I do say it was a privilege, because, I mean, when you get to lock arms with people, it's a blessing for you as the community that gets the honor to do that. So with that being said, we want to jump right in, and we just want to hear from our friends and their great perspectives on community in their very different situations. All right, so Carly, I would love it if you would just tell us a little bit about what happened to your family, and tell us about the role that community has played in your family's life.
Okay. In January of this year, my, as Brittany said, extremely healthy husband got really sick really quickly. He was sick, then he was in an ambulance, then he was being transferred, then he was in surgery, all within days. So for a family that, I mean, other than going to a hospital to have a baby, we had never, I mean, we dealt with family tragedies, but never anything in our close-knit side. And so you asked about community. So when he went into calling the ambulance so suddenly in the morning, my first thought was ask for prayer. And with our community, we have a channel on Slack that I asked for prayer there because it was 5 o'clock in the morning and I didn't want to wake anyone up because that's just me. I don't do well with asking for many things before all of this. And so that was the first part, was just knowing that I had a place to start with just asking for prayer, because I think we were slightly in denial, even though the ambulance was pulling away with him in it. And then as the very long day progressed, he obviously got worse. And there was many times where I was reaching out, just asking for a hand, I guess, so to speak. When he was pulling away in the ambulance, my middle actually woke up and saw the ambulance, was like, oh, lights, and then asked where Dad was. So I, at that point, had called my mom, even though it was 5 o'clock, and she asked me, do you want me to come down there? But in the time that it was happening, we had said, no, we don't want to expose anyone else to any sickness. We don't know what's really going on. At that point, it was just so new. As the day progressed and he went through the emergency room and then was admitted, and then we got the call that said, you need to get down here. And everyone just like dropped what they were doing. And I had my mom coming from out of town and friends that were already in their car on their way, trying to get there so I could leave my kids, who at the time were not sick, but they had to have someone with them. Obviously, we have three children at home. Lexi is 8, Jackson is now 5, and Benny is 2. At the time, my mom was the first person that got there, and by that point it had been 45 minutes, so I was like jumping in the car trying to just get up to the hospital, which is only like 5 minutes from our house. But when I walked in, I instantly FaceTimed my kids so that he could talk with them. And at that point, he was pale, but he wasn't to the point. They called me up there saying they were worried about night, which is so strange because it seemed like every night that he was sick, it seemed like the night was the worst. And we noticed that with other things going on. But by that point, they were transferring him to a hospital about 25 minutes away. And after I walked in and sat down and I called to get some information, they informed me I wasn't allowed to go with him. So they, within an hour of me getting my mom down and getting there and just like finally having a breath, he left. And I didn't know what to do. I felt lost and a little confused and was trying to figure out what was the next steps. And by this point, his mom was on the way down. And she asked me, hold the ambulance. I want to see him. And he was fine. Like he got onto the gurney. He walked himself down there. Like, but at that point, God knew what was going on, but we didn't. So they were like, yeah, we're fine to wait. We're fine to wait. But they were pushing it. And she was like 2 minutes away. They're like, we have to go. He wasn't in an emergent state that we just didn't understand. And by the time they left, we both got back to my house at the same time, and she was really upset. Just she couldn't see him, rightfully so. And so we get inside, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do next. I kept calling. I didn't know where to go. And I mean, we had a couple of people. Cammy had told me some acts to follow. Like, we tried all night, it seemed like, to just get into the building. And at that point, when I finally got a hold of someone a few hours later, I was already on my way up there. We were just going to stay in a hotel. And I had a friend that booked something not close, but closer than before. And we grabbed dinner and sat outside of the hospital when at that point, they hadn't decided to do surgery. They had just said that they were watching. And then we got a pretty frantic call from them saying things have taken a turn. Let's go ahead and discuss our options. And then nothing. And he just said, I'm hungry. He just wanted food and sleep. But at that point, I hadn't seen him since he left our town. And so when we were talking to him, the doctor came in and said, you need to get in surgery now. We are going to pray over you and we are going to get going. And then the ball just went fast. Within an hour, they had a OR prepped, and I was on the phone with him and had him record some messages for our kids, just saying, basically, I love you. At that point, my brain went to the worst case scenario. When I was 10, I lost my dad to a heart attack. So I have not heard my dad's voice since then, and that's just something that I struggle with many times throughout the year. And I just didn't want for that for my kids. And I mean, I have videos of him, obviously, but it was just something that I felt was special because at that point, the kids, he chose to quarantine himself in a room while he was sick. So my kids already hadn't seen him in a couple days other than like through the door talking to him or through FaceTime. We did a Disney date night while he was in that room on FaceTime with a laptop. And so that was just what went through my head. But in that process, our community, I don't even remember who I messaged, honestly. I just remember saying, I don't know how to pray. I feel lost. I words aren't coming out. And I was bombarded with at least 30 prayers. And I read them over the building while he was in surgery, because at that point we were waiting to hear that they had started even. Like, I felt like I was constantly asking for information. And because I'm not in the building, it's easy just to keep going with what's happening in front of you and you just can't see it. But I read prayers over the building and then I called my kids. And my middle guy, he is my quiet, timid little man, but this is his first, he just finished his first year in our co-op. And he said, Mommy, I want to pray. So he says this adorable little prayer that I'm sure he's heard from his tutor a million times because he's very blessed in that class. And I cried and then we waited.
And you started asking us for, you know, specific prayers, and we were asking you, what can we pray for right now? And I know that was really helpful because once all the prayers started being answered, it was like, oh my word, that was answered. That was answered. It was just so specific, so from God, you know, you just couldn't see another way around it.
To that point, yes, I definitely struggled with that part. I just, in that moment, I didn't know what I needed. I didn't know. I am not a person that asks for help very well. They definitely alluded to my energy level at the beginning. I am very much a just do. I don't ask for help. But I mean, a lot of those barriers were broke down. I had to ask for help. Someone had to keep my kids. I stayed up there even though I couldn't be in the building because we kept seeing such wonderful miracles happening every step we took. When I'm not saying that everything obviously came the way it should, but it felt so divine to watch when we would ask for a prayer. 30 minutes later, it seemed like it was being answered. When we, in the middle of the process, something that really stood out for both of us is in the middle of the process, he was getting better, but there was other things that had to be addressed other than his heart. In the moment, we knew he had gotten myocarditis and his ejection fraction was at 6%. That means his heart, essentially, it was pumping 130 beats a minute, but no blood was flowing through his body before they put the Impella 5.5 in his body. When he went through surgery and woke up, his heart was pumping his heart wasn't pumping. The pump was pumping blood through his body at a 45% rate, which was letting his kidneys and lungs do the job that they weren't doing when they were trying to fight with the heart. Once they got him stable, they began dealing with other parts of his body. So I remember asking for a prayer for like his heart rate to go down so the next steps could take place. And when his heart rate finally went down, it actually was on a little message board. So while he was sick, I wasn't allowed in the room. So I, after Cammie sent me some stuff, I finally, and ironically, Conway Santa brought me some stuff too. And that got us into the hospital, into a little window that we could look in. And like, we would still FaceTime, but you could still hear us at times. And he had some really amazing nurses that were, I mean, they just rocked it. But there was a point where his lungs had gotten fluid all around and his body was compensating for that. So when they decided that it was time for that to come off of his body, he had to have the surgery in his room. And in that process, his heart surgeon decided to do the surgery. And it was putting lung drains in. We got that news about an hour after we found out our daughter also tested positive. And we are naturally people that panic a little bit and get anxious. And he was on the phone with me when they called to tell us. And my first thought was, how can I make him feel better? How can I make him not worry about our kids while he's about to have a very invasive surgery in a very odd space? And so I actually called Brittany and asked her, I was like, do you have any way to check Lexi's heart rate and show him, like, send a picture, have my mom send a picture, someone send a picture showing us that she is not doing the same thing as he did? Because, I mean, no one expected him to have that happen. Who's to say that it couldn't happen to our kids? And so I don't even think it was 2 hours, and she was sending that, and I was showing him along with his surgeon, telling him, like, hey, my kids are sick too right now, and I'm here. 5 of my family members are sick. And so that was really special in that moment for the community of it, because I knew that someone had our back, even though I didn't know what to ask for until I asked for it. Someone was there to help us when we didn't know what we needed, which was so nice.
Okay, so to kind of wrap up the medical part of it, you mentioned the Impella. So he had myocarditis, his heart function dropped to like almost nothing.
Yeah.
Like I remember, you know, the story that you've told about how he was, you know, how he was on the table before they were able to place that device in. Mm-hmm. And it was the device in itself is a, you know, a miracle and just a life-saving thing. And it did what it was designed to do. And, you know,
minimally invasive.
Yes. God just totally did a miracle through that device in his mm-hmm. body. And he's lived to tell about this experience. And now he is, how's he doing now?
So we have a echo. It's the in August, but before he left the hospital in January, they did it after they removed the Impella. Once he got the drains out and everything, he was working at 60%, which sounds low, but what we actually found out is I'm probably at 60%. Mm-hmm. So he probably was naturally at like 70% just because he was much more athletic and healthy and just much more active. But 60 is what the average person has. And so that is that, from what we know, that is where he is at. Yeah. And doing well. I mean, he played softball this year.
I was going to say, a few weeks ago, we saw pictures of him playing softball.
He's, I mean, other than the scars on his body and the experience whenever he goes to tell it, you wouldn't know anything happened to him.
And that, 16-day stay in the hospital?
It was 21.
You stayed about 16 days or something like that. So what a wild time for your family. And something that you hadn't mentioned is that you are never apart from your 3 kids.
No. Up until that stay, ironically, just the month before, a month and a half before that, we took our first overnight away from our kids. We have both had to like do something where we were away for a little bit. Both of us have not been away for more than 29 hours, I think is how long we made it before we came back and picked them up. We just have always felt called to bring them with us. They've always traveled with us. We've always just gone together. And so it was the first time we had both been away, and our kids rocked it. My mom rocked it. They handled it like champs. We did get the opportunity to bring them up to us. They couldn't go into the hospital, but they on his birthday, because he celebrated his birthday in the hospital, they got to come up and they, my youngest, who at the time wasn't speaking, we were in the process of getting speech evals. He would bang on the window and said, "My dada." And that was his first sentence. And I caught it on video and sent it to him. It was the first time Bobby got to sit in a chair and you could see his hand out the window blinds. And so Benny just took to that and just would knock on the window. And so we'd text Bobby and tell him, "Hey, wave." And so it was a really fun experience for what we were going through, considering his birthday was spent there.
Yeah. So, and as a couple, you're not apart very much. So this was a very jarring experience. Yes. For you as a wife being apart from your husband, and for him as a husband being away from you. Yes. And his family. But to come to the community aspect, community has always been important to you.
Yes.
So like when we started our community co-op, that was kind of the big encompassing thing. You have always been very intentional to facilitate community. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Cammie and I were talking just before you ladies came about how you are reaping what you've sown. Like, this happened to you and you got to experience all of the things that you have poured into others. I mean, for as long as we've known
for
you.
For 4 years that you've been involved.
Yeah. So, anyway, you know, I'll just reiterate what I said. Like, it's been a privilege for us to be able to lock arms with your family in such a hard time. But I wanted to get your thoughts on the community aspect. Maybe, you know, your thoughts on what community means to you, has always meant to you, and then maybe how that has changed or shifted or just, I don't know, grown since this experience.
Yeah. So I've always felt the need for a village. I think it comes from, my mom wasn't, my siblings and I are very spaced apart. So I basically grew up as a only child, even though I do have siblings and nieces that are close to my age. But I remember when I had Lexi, I didn't know anyone else that was having babies. And I just felt lonely. Cammie and I have talked about it. We both have world changers for daughters. They're very similar. And I felt lonely because none of my nieces were like that. My nephew was not like that. I didn't understand the child I was raising yet. Mm-hmm. But when she was 18 months, I remember thinking, I want to homeschool her. Like, I felt it on my heart, but I didn't have the support at the time. When we moved, I always thought that God was putting us in our town because of the support for homeschooling. When Lexi was 4, she was so ready to start school. And I mean, she just wanted to do all the things, and I didn't know where to turn. And doors just kept opening, and we ended up, I mean, we were in a couple different groups. I've always tried to be very intentional on placing her, at the time it was just her, with a group of kids or even moms for me, just people that were going through the same thing. I felt very fulfilled by that, and so I wanted to be in that. And when she was 4 and we joined with Brittany in the group, I had never really even seen a homeschool class. I definitely did not see anything like our co-op. I definitely took a leap of faith from what God was telling me to do, and I jumped feet first and just did it. And it has been beautiful to watch my kids grow, to watch me grow as their mom, and feel very connected. And I think up until this year, I've always felt that God placed us here to support us in homeschooling. And I do believe that to be very true, because the doors have been there. But I see a little bit more of the picture opening up, that he placed us here for more than just homeschooling. He placed us here for a group of people that are just wonderful to be friends with, to text if you need someone to talk to for a minute because one of your children doesn't know how to spell something. I mean, it's just, there's so many benefits to it, obviously. But for us, I do better with a group. I like bouncing ideas off of someone, and that's definitely where I thought community was for me. I find tremendous joy in pouring into others. That's just me naturally. And I've seen what it looks like to have it poured back into me. And it's beautiful to look back on something that I've never thought I needed, but God knew we would need it. And so he put it there for us.
Yeah, that's so good. He's such a good provider, and he's got so much more in store for us than just the little bitty details, like what curriculum we're using or how we're teaching our kids this or that. Like he just cares he's so much deeper and so much richer than just that surface. Like he's gonna take care of all of the things. So that was really good.
And I think that our community has been super intentional about this. In this past year in particular, we've been very intentional about creating that kind of community. And it weaves us together in a way that nothing else can replicate. Like we can't do it without each other, whether that's just a random text message, whether that's in times of crisis, whether that's in fun times and like going to the movies together or whatever that looks like. But I think that it has been really beautiful to watch all of that unfold this past year.
And I remember telling my husband even like to know that that was your first time away from Bobby or first time away from your kid. Sorry. That you must have felt so comfortable because that's not who you are as a person. You don't leave your kids ever. And so, and I've heard you tell this story in different, you know, places, and you've talked about how you knew, you know, your daughter was taken care of in this way. You knew groceries were taken care of in this way, like all the different things that, you know, the village that came out during that time, you know, you saw who was there. And I just remember, I was so glad that you had peace during that time, because I think that's what everyone ultimately wanted for you.
Yeah, I think we had this text thread that was happening back and forth, and there were people that were like, okay, well, I'm taking the pizza tonight, and then you've got this, and you've got this, and everybody was working together as a unit to really like make sure that you had that peace.
I remember being asked, what do you need? And I details get fuzzy. I remember saying, I have no idea. I don't know what I need. And I remember mom calling me and saying, well, someone dropped off this. Brittany dropped off this. And I was like, wow, how did they know I needed that? Like I didn't even know. And that's what I, looking back on it, what felt so comforting is someone else knew I needed it. I may not have, because it was just, my brain felt like mush. I didn't know what to do. I haven't spent a lot of time away from him, so I felt like I was, for lack of better phrase, a chicken with my head cut off. Like, I just didn't know what to do. And I remember thinking, well, at one point my mom called and said, Lexi is so bored. I don't know what to do. She was giving some problems about eating, and we were worried about her because she knew her dad was sick. She understood more than the others. And I remember calling Cammie, and she sent me so many pictures of Lexi just having this really good time before stuff got even harder again. And so it was just like a bright moment. And I sent those to him, and he was like, oh, I'm so glad she's having fun. Because he, you know, even though he's so sick, he can't help but worry about his kids. Like, you don't turn that off. Even if you're like sitting there in so much pain, mm-hmm. you're still worried about your kids. So it was so peaceful to know that the village that we had been a part of, we always saw it, but we didn't need it yet. It was so nice to see that the work was being orchestrated before we even knew we needed it.
Yeah, so I want to ask you a question about how to help other people in this, if they were to experience some sort of trauma, or if they were to go through some sort of a medical emergency or a loss, or, you know, they find themselves in a situation where they need community to surround them. And while you think about that, I will say you mentioned that you said, I don't know. It might have been a text to me. It might have been me texting you, what do you need? And you saying, I don't know. And then one of those Facebook posts like came to mind where people are like, don't ask people what they need. Just show up. Just do it. Yeah. And so I remember like we just a lot of us had these conversations going on, like, well, what do you think? Oh, well, they might need this and they might need that. And so then before you know it, it was just, we all just kind of just got together and we're just like, well, it may not be what they need, but we're just going to bring it all. We're just going to do it all. Surely they need this and surely they need groceries and surely they need food.
It won't go to waste. It won't go
to
waste.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. None of it went to waste.
So, but back to you, I'd like to know what, since you've experienced this, what would you suggest if another community were to have a loss or suffer some sort of, it could be a birth. It could be something good. You know, it could be just something that throws them off or they need to support someone in their community. What would you say are some things that they can do and maybe even some practical things that they could do?
I think that based on what I saw, like you said, just showing up, even though you may think that message, like I got many messages saying, I'm sorry to bother you. It wasn't bothering. It was nice to take my mind off of it sometimes. And I knew that if that person was messaging me, they might've been the first person on the thread. And so I would go back to that message if I needed something, because I had many people ask me and a lot of times I didn't know. And so until things progressed and my mind got a little bit of clarity and I could say, hey, I do need this. Or my mom would message me and say, hey, we need this. So I think just showing up, even if you feel like you're annoying them. I know I got a lot of that, like, I'm sorry, but it was nice to take my mind off of it for a minute and like focus on something else. Cause a lot of times you would think he was there long enough that you would think that like I had watched a TV show, but most of the time I was spent like walking back and forth to a room or trying to get a hold of something for this or that. And so having a moment to just stop and like update or ask for something, that was, I think for me, made things so much easier. I think most people do that with birth too, like meal plans and all of that. Food is, so my kids were quarantined so for twice technically. And so when they dropped off food, they stopped my mom from having to cook the HelloFresh meals that I had bought before because she hated those. Mm-hmm. And because she called me saying, Carly, these do not take 5 minutes. They take like 35 minutes and your kids don't like them. So when someone dropped off chicken nuggets and macaroni and cheese and all of the yummy things that they love, they helped my mom, which helped me in the long run because I've never felt like I couldn't take care of my kids. But in that moment, I definitely felt not like a parent.
Well,
I was being pulled.
Pulled, yeah. In two directions. And you had to choose to put more energy on one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I've never had that happen before. I've always felt like I'm a mom. I'm a wife too, but he's been able to take care of himself. I've never had to be pulled like that. Mm-hmm. So having that moment where I didn't know what to ask for, because I'm sure that's pretty common, just show up.
Okay, so Casey, you have a completely different story about community. And Casey was homeschooling in another country, and there wasn't necessarily a whole lot of options in terms of homeschooling co-ops or communities. Probably not a lot of people doing it there. And tell us about that. What were you doing? Where were you? What did your life look like? And how did community play a role in that?
Yes. So we were actually in Jamaica the last 3 years prior to this one. So we've now been back in stateside for a year. And my husband is an optometrist. So we were there for a mission straight out of his optometry school. He went back to school later in life a couple different times. This is our hometown that we're in and back in. And so we do have connections and roots here, but it doesn't, we've actually been around a lot. So we moved when he joined the military many years ago, I think 12-ish, maybe more than that, years ago, 14-ish. And that took us 12 hours away to another state. And that was, I was fresh out of college. I had a teaching degree. And then he deployed just 3 months after that to Iraq for a year. So again, I was just looking for community there. We didn't have kids yet, but that, you know, taking me out of the home I grew up in and knew and was a big obstacle. And then having your husband be deployed was another big obstacle. So we had been through different trials in that regard, and God had grown us closer together. So then we had moved back and forth a few different times, and then schooling. So while he was deployed to Iraq for the year, and I was teaching, it was really hard to find community because I was away from my family that I don't, you know, grew up, born and raised in the same town, married in the same town for 19 years. Didn't leave until I was about 21-ish, I think. So I remember feeling really lonely and having friends, just to be honest, Friends DVDs were my friends. And so that and my dogs. So after Iraq, we wound up having a couple kids within 22 months time of apart. And he wound up in optometry school. And so that is definitely not where we expected to be. But I remember feeling called. Our oldest is very much a little go-getter and always has been just headstrong, and she wants to learn to write today. And so I found myself preschooling her while we lived outside of Memphis. And we did like real hardcore preschool. So we had a little curriculum and I made a board, and we just had so much fun with it. And so I remember feeling called to homeschool during that time. And my husband definitely shut that down. So, at the time, it just wasn't feasible. We knew that student loans that we had been living on as a family of four would be running out. And so I needed to go back to work. So I actually taught third grade while my my oldest started kindergarten, the year she started kindergarten. And my youngest started pre-K at that school. And I was just walking distance down the street. So it was very God orchestrated, and it was definitely what we needed at the time. But I remember thinking, oh, you know, it's not the homeschool plan. I saw other friends with similar age kids getting started in that. And I remember feeling that little bit of longing there. And it just wasn't timed. So fast forward to Jamaica, we really uprooted everything. We sold almost all of our belongings, and we took this 5 and 7 year old. She actually turned 7 2 days after we got there. 5 and 7 year old to Jamaica, and we left our family and we said, we don't know if we're moving back. It was very much not, this is a 2 year commitment. It was, this could be forever. And so, to be, you know, for him to be an optometrist with this mission group. And so they actually began school in Jamaica. And they, my youngest daughter started kindergarten there. My oldest started second grade. And we wound up driving a long distance with a lot of taxi cabs on the opposite side of the road than we're used to get them to school every morning. And it was at a private school, but it was still, you know, Jamaican Ministry of Education run. And so lots of differences from the get-go. And we wound up switching schools after the first semester, and just trying to find the right fit, really. And we found ourselves unexpectedly homeschooling. And so we wound up pulling out our youngest daughter about 2 months before the school year was over at the second school. And we let the other stay, but we just knew, we just saw that the youngest was actually struggling with a lot of anxiety at school. And it was just a really tiny school, and she had lots of age groups in her one little classroom. And so we knew it wasn't the right fit for her. And we ultimately decided it wasn't the right fit for both. Just in a lot of ways, their needs weren't being met. And so we found ourselves at home homeschooling, and that was never the plan, or at least our plan. You know, obviously it was God's plan. So
what did you do when you found yourself homeschooling and you're in another country And the way that you're talking about it makes me feel like it's probably not a real popular thing to do in Jamaica, is to homeschool. So you're telling me there's not a lot of community there. What'd you do?
Correct. Yes. So this is just not a, this is not something that most people do or know about. Really, from what I had researched at the time, I did find like one group and they met, but they were on the other side of the island. You know, this is an island with about a population of 3 million and long driving distances to get to places. So it really wasn't feasible. But mostly what I was finding was that they were for, you know, people were pulling out because of those unmet needs, locals as well. So, you know, whether it was you have, you know, children who are just excelling and needing that more challenge, or you need, you know, children who, you know, had disabilities, had different differences that the schools, they're just, you know, you're talking about a developing country and they weren't, they don't have the resources, you know, it's of no fault of their own. They do not have those resources to be equipped to teach those and care for those kids like they need to be. And so parents were taking it upon themselves. And so it just, that one, you know, in particular group didn't fit our need. And the only other homeschoolers I knew were other missionary kids. And so one family, they actually had what Jamaica calls aunties. Everyone's an auntie and uncle there. But, you know, they had an auntie come and homeschool their children with the organization that they were in. And so, you know, they pretty much had that one room schoolhouse with, you know, their six children there. And so that wasn't also, you know, a community fit to for us to go and hang out. I mean, we did do some fun things, but not to do life in school with like a co-op would here in the States, right? And then we did have another family of six kids, but they lived a little further out. And we did wind up doing some things with them and having some ministry, actually, activities with them and tutoring some of those actual kids that had disabilities and couldn't go to school, teaching sign language to a student that was deaf. And so we did have some good opportunities, but still it wasn't what you want and what you know that your heart ultimately needs to have that community aspect. We did have a community. So definitely don't want to sound like we didn't have anyone. We had great friends, you know, we had church friends, you know, but these were working moms and dads and not in the same scenario that we were in. And so the girls did have, you know, I have both girls and they did have really good friends in the neighborhood. They are all going to school, you know, until COVID happened. And then, you know, we saw a lot more after that and they could play, you know, day play days or however that worked out.
Okay, Casey. So what resources or what places did you turn when you didn't have a community of homeschoolers? What did you do? How did you try to find that kind of connection that we all really need as homeschool moms? We need that support. We need that connection. But you're in another country without a lot of other homeschool moms. What did you do?
I'm pretty sure that first night of pulling my daughter out, I put out an SOS on Facebook and I said, I need help. I am now, you know, unexpectedly homeschooling. And I mean, everyone knew I'm a teacher by trade, but it's very different to take on the full education responsibility of your own child and that you want to do it justice and all those things. And so after that initial, and really, I mean, in today's technology and today's, we talk a lot of negative about technology, but it has come so far and I would think it has to be easier to homeschool today than it was 20 years ago.
Absolutely.
with keeping that connection, no matter where you are in the world, truly. And so after several, you know, veteran mamas messaged me and, you know, started that conversation with, okay, I use this curriculum and okay, because we didn't have anything. I had the internet, I had Pinterest, I knew what I had done teaching, but I taught third last, not kindergarten. You know, it was just like, where do I even begin? And so really that is where I pulled, you know, the internet and, you know, Facebook groups. This is like Cami said earlier, you know, I started listening. This was the first time I ever started listening to podcasts because I knew, okay, you know, there's so much wealth out there, wealth of knowledge out there that you just, you don't know. And if you don't have someone talking face to face, you can listen at least. You can gain, you can.
I think that it's not just homeschool moms looking for community. I think in general, most moms are looking for community, even if it's, I mean, there's a Facebook group for everything. There's, I mean, breastfeeding. I mean, there's people that look for play dates. And I think a big thing that a lot of moms are looking for it, they don't think to start it themselves because they just want something from someone else.
So what are some places you went on the internet? You talked about the internet, that was a resource for you. You got on Facebook and you put out a post and said, hey, I need help homeschooling. I don't know what I'm doing. And you mentioned Pinterest. What are some other places that you have found valuable in your homeschool journey here?
I think in looking for curriculum, I first stumbled upon, the podcast. And, but it was specifically for writing. It was for how to make your kid an amazing writer, you know, and, but I started listening to it and it seems to be that a lot of podcasts overlap a lot of encouragement for, moms and homeschool moms alike. And so I started listening to this podcast and it really just helped me feel not alone in that moment. And so that made me turn to other podcasts. And really, the more you research is the more, you know, specific, like Carly was saying, there's so many specific topics. You know, you could have, if your kid has anxiety, like I've mentioned with mine, you know, if your kid has ADHD, if your kid dyslexia, if you are a mom with, you know, a mental illness, there's just so many different resources that you can pinpoint whatever you're looking for at that time, whether that is, you know, Googling it or Pinteresting ideas or those Facebook groups or certain podcasts. And so, I just started having so much more, confidence, I think, that I could do this because other moms were in the trenches, you know, other families were in the trenches doing it too. And it just helps you feel so much more not alone.
And I think that makes a point that it's not about, you know, I think that we as women tend to be kind of cliquey and like, this group is better than that group. But it's not about that. It's about finding your people. It doesn't matter what group you join. If you've got some common ground with those people and work on being intentional with those people in whatever way that is, if it's participating in an online forum and having a chat group going, if it's like literally going out and having mom's night out, whatever that looks like, it's not about which group it is as much as that you find your people, like find your people. Whoever they are.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the more vulnerable we are with each other is the more you connect, you know. So if I tell you my struggle, and I have tried to do that with homeschooling, even because I know, you know, on my Facebook or whatnot, because I know that someone else might be contemplating homeschooling and they just feel so ill-equipped. And if I can show them, you know, I'm struggling too. And I've, you know, got a degree in this and I've, you know, whatever. I think it makes them feel like they can do it and they can reach out. And that's such a big part of it, you know, be that person for someone else. And, like Brittany was saying earlier, you know, take whatever you've been given, you know, all the information, all the people who've taken time to, you know, tell me about their homeschool journey or mothering advice or whatever it is in that moment, you know, give that on to someone else. Comment and tell them, you know, you see what they're doing, or just ask them for, you know, if they have a prayer request that day. Something so simple can make a really big difference and help people feel not alone. And that's something you can do at a distance, you know, when you can't physically be there.
And being vulnerable is something that you just mentioned very briefly, but That's the biggest thing. Life is way too short to be fake about stuff and to be here and try to pretend like we all have it all together. When we all of us sitting at this table know we do not have it all together. And I think that the more that we can be honest with each other about that in whatever form that is, the better our community, like the more connected we will feel and the better our community will grow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever, personal community, you know?
Yeah.
And I want to throw back to something that Brittany said earlier on this podcast when she was talking about her and Carly and how they met, is that they went to this meeting and they were kind of like, hey, we have a waiting list, but you guys could do it. And I respect Brittany so much for saying, okay, I'll do it, instead of saying, oh man, well, that must just not be the place for me to go. I'll just go back to doing it by myself. Instead, you said, okay, all right, Carly, let's go do this. And y'all did. And Brittany, in general, has been so intentional over the past few years at building that community for people. And I say all that to say, like, if you're finding yourself in that position, like you said, be the person that you want from other people.
Right. I mean, and you know, this was talked about or at least alluded to earlier, you know, if what you're looking for isn't there, you know, build it, do it. And I'm talking to myself in this moment, because it's out of my comfort zone, but I've seen, and that's why I really do love, you know, Instagram and Pinterest and Facebook, because I love seeing what other people are doing. It's inspiring. And when they tell their story, you know, this is part of your story. And when they tell their story, this wasn't there, but I really wanted a nature group, and that wasn't in my city, and they went and did it, and now it's huge, or, you know, whatever it may be that you just haven't found your right fit. I love that ambition, you know?
Yeah. And that, so I can just say from my experience that I love watching people figure that out.
Yes.
And walk it out. You know, yes. Like when somebody comes to me in our community, in our co-op, and they say, basically they're saying, I'm seeing a need for this, or they're saying, I think it'd be really cool if, and my favorite is when they say, is it okay if I do that? If I take that on? I'm like, absolutely. Yes. I don't own this thing. Take it and run with it and do something with it. Because, you know, for one, you know, it takes something off of my plate. Like my plate's already full, but it gives them ownership. Mm-hmm. And when you have ownership in something, it's just a beautiful thing. And it just, you watch the people flock to that, and you watch people get confident in their ownership and in their place in a community. You know, if everybody's doing something for you, like, I've created this community, here's all of the resources for this community, here's all of the field trips and all of the opportunities, and and I'm going to also teach all of your kids all the things. All you have to do is show up. You don't have to do anything. Then there's no ownership. There's no real stake in it, I feel like.
Yeah, there's a lack of accountability.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't feel like a real, true connection. You know, there is a great there's a great time and a place for that. Like, if you just had a baby, but you still want to be involved in a community, you just want to show up.
Right.
Like,
there's seasons. Yeah. There's seasons where that's needed.
Yeah. You just want to show up, know that your kids are going to be around their friends. You're going to be around your friend, but there's no pressure for you to do X, Y, Z. But then, you know, you kind of got to grow out of that. And you know, when you take part in the ownership of a community, that's when you really start to grow and flourish, and you really feel like you have deep roots. You like that?
I like what you did
there. You like that?
All right. I wanted to add that I think that our kids see that too. If you're scared to start something, or I guess reinvent the wheel, they see it. I naturally am not typically one that would go and just start a community. Like, that's not my thing. But my daughter saw it, and she doesn't see a problem with that, which is what I would prefer from her. I may not be necessarily the most go do all the time. She is. And I appreciate that. And I kind of grow with her with that, because I think that's important for her to see and my sons to see that it's okay to do something and fail. Yeah. And still try again and fail again and maybe succeed the next time. But there's nothing wrong with that.
That's right. And it can be really hard for some of us. I mean, I know it's really hard for me to want to put myself out there and to do something. I'm very introverted. I like to have my home time. I don't want to do stuff with other people, like most of the time. Let's just be honest. But
I'll speak to that, because I did think that, you know, Carly said earlier, she just has always longed for community. And I, as much as I want people around, but I'm like what Cammie just said, you know, I'm kind of also a homebody. You know, my husband's very much that way. And I know, you know, you feed off of your spouse a lot. And so it seems daunting to go and do, you know, it seemed daunting to come back to the States and join a community. I just said this week, man, we have a lot more to do these days than we did for the last 3 years while living abroad. It's just a different world. And I like that slow pace. And I liked what that afforded us. Even my daughter chimed in when I said that out loud. She was like, yeah, you know, we had a lot more free time. She's like, but no, I love our co-op now. I do love it. And they really do. But, you know, we found ways to socialize in different ways. And if, you know, there wasn't a need or population group like there is here. And I know some of you might, you know, feel the same way. Maybe your town is just not in an abundance of homeschooling families. Maybe you would be the only one. And so it wasn't feasible nor needed to start a homeschooling group. But we did do other things. We made ways, you know, even though all their friends are now in school all day, and then we were at home all day just waiting for our friends to get home into the community, right, just to see other people. But they made ways and helped me make ways that were special. We hosted a fall festival at our house because Jamaica doesn't celebrate Halloween. COVID was actually upon us at the time. And so that shut down like the only trick-or-treating that you can find in probably all of Montego Bay. And so we said, you know what, let's throw it. Let's do this. And so that was school that day, maybe 2 days. They made handmade invitations and they set the time. They came up with games to play. We came up with crafts. We did all sorts of special food, and we invited every neighborhood kid. And you could tell most of them had no idea what we were doing and why we were doing it. And why would these crazy Americans be telling us to come over? And, you know, I don't think we bobbed for apples, but that would have been a really good example. I know we did some crazy things, though. I know we wrapped, you know, everyone as mummies out of toilet paper, and everyone that was driving by in our ritzy community that it was, you know, was like, what's this lady doing? But it was so much fun. And it gave my daughters, you know, that sense of community that they were missing. We hosted an Easter egg hunt. They wrote a play, and then they went and asked all their friends in the community if they wanted to be a part of it. And I videoed them, and they used all of our dress up clothes. And that was also part of school. I mean, it just, you can find it, you know, if you're searching for it. Like, and it doesn't have to be within, you know, I know the homeschool world talks about this a lot, but within their age groups either. We took pottery. There was not a single other kids there. I'm not so sure that every adult liked that I brought kids into the mix, but it was such a good learning experience. And they had such good conversations with adults on repeat, learning from other people than me, you know, and that's something else you can do. You know, you can outsource. I think there's, you know, different out school or something like that. There's different web schoolings you can be a part of, classes you can take, you know, where they can get FaceTime with others. There's just so much more available to us these days. And so you can find it if you search for it, and it doesn't have to look like maybe what was in your head. But it's definitely can be there. And, you know, I'm speaking to other missionary families. I know military is also very much part of this scenario. If you move around a lot, or maybe you are overseas, I know I follow someone that does a classical model, and she's in Korea, you know, and I am amazed that she is beautifully homeschooling. You know, I don't know all of her secrets, but she's inspiring to me, you know, as well. And so, and even just, you know, finding going on the playground after school and seeing who's out there, because I think with COVID, a lot of people wound up homeschooling. I think we've seen that for whatever reason, you know, whether it was the fear of the disease or their kid could not handle the virtual classes at the time, or, you know, masks are not every kid's friend, you know, some can't do it. And so we would, our new backyard is actually backs up to a playground, and we actually have found so many friends that were homeschoolers and they didn't have a community. They were thrown into this mix. You know, they don't know what they're doing, and they show up on the playground in the afternoons. And so, you know, if you can teach your kid to say, "Hi, my name is, what's your name?" You know, you could earn a community really fast that way.
I really like what you said when you were talking about the Halloween party and that kind of stuff, that you involved your kids in the community building. Like, I think that we tend to think of it as, I need a support system for me, but we haven't really talked about that our kids need that community as well. And I think this is where it's a double-edged sword, because people want to talk about socialization in homeschool and they're not getting all what they need. And that's absolutely false. They do get lots of socialization. However, letting your kids be a part of the building of the community like you're talking about is a whole different thing. And I think that it's really important to show them how to create those relationships and how to create healthy relationships and how to get outside your comfort zone a little bit and do that. So, but what are, like, if we're sitting around talking about this, what are some ways that we could come up with to give people ideas about how do you, I mean, you had lots of good ones, but what are some other things that people could do if they maybe aren't, they don't have a co-op for whatever reason, they're not joining a co-op this year, they don't have the physical health to be in a co-op, they are having a baby, they're deployed, whatever that looks like for you, what are some ways that you can try to find your homeschool people?
I think that COVID definitely showed that Zoom is totally an option. You can have a play date with a video camera. Not that you want to do that only, but if you are not able to get out of your house, it's totally an option. There's, if you're comfortable getting out of your house, obviously, I mean, your local libraries, people meet there for all kinds of things. I know ours has a calendar of events. There's church. There's always an opportunity to build some kind of community in a church.
That's right.
There's usually kids in most churches. I mean, they could be different ages, which is totally fine too.
I know we've done weekly standing park days is something that a lot of families, and a lot of the families that come aren't involved in co-ops, or they're definitely not in our co-op. I mean, we have lots of families that come that aren't just our co-op. But what about, and like just whenever you're texting, like just texting somebody and saying, "Hey, I'm thinking about you. How's it going? How's homeschool going?" And just a check-in.
Yeah, we so often, I mean, even while in Jamaica, like the kids went everywhere with me, you know, we were learning people at the grocery store. We were learning, you know, we walked down to our food truck. We got to know the food truck couple, you know. They would bring the girls special fruit from their personal tree because they were getting to know the girls, you know, and they weren't afraid to talk to them in that way. Or, you know, we learned sign language in order to talk to some of the baggers. at the grocery store because they, most of the baggers were from the deaf school nearby. And so I said, you know, let's learn how to say thank you. I mean, not much, but let's say thank you and have a great day, you know, just to kind of surprise them. And that sticks. Let me tell you, I got a phone number and a hug. And the next time we walked in, you know, you're greeted with a smile and you have instant connection. And so I just think you can do those little touches all the time. You know, you forget that a compliment goes so far, you know, and that's with any age. And that's talking to the people checking you out at the grocery store. And that's with being bold to ask, you know, well, you know, we've been trying new churches and trying to find, you know, community at church. I learned this week that there's a lot more homeschoolers in my own church than I even knew about. You just have to be, you know, ask and be open and honest with whatever you're looking for. And sometimes, you know, they're hidden gems. I'm still learning about options for co-ops and things, or just school days, or, you know, fun activities that we had no idea about that were even available here.
But what I think that the theme that keeps coming up is it's not going to just show up at your doorstep, most likely. It takes a little work, and it takes being intentional to like search that out and try to find that. And if you sit around just waiting on it to show up, it's probably not going to.
Yes, totally agree. Even, you know, I think of, we have working mom friends, and, you know, I know with our busy schedules, like, we want to see those that can't make it to co-op, or, you know, maybe they have an off schedule where they are hit or miss or whatever. And I always feel bad. Oh, I didn't contact that person that week, but that doesn't mean I didn't think about you, you know? So if you want to get together for coffee, you just ask, you know, like, you make a point to say it. And I promise you, you're not, and I'm once again talking to myself, you know, I'm the same way. I wish I was a little bit more bold, or, you know, not thinking that, oh, I'm going to annoy this person if I ask one more homeschool question, you know, if I ask one more thing. Like, I called this morning, I, you know, Cammie pointed me in the direction, and I got a call from a friend, and we spent 15 minutes talking about, you know, a homeschool question that I didn't have the answer to, and I would never have called her because I was scared. I don't want to bother someone, you know, but so often everyone wants to be helpful. They just, you know, maybe they didn't have a break that day, or maybe they just can't hardly breathe themselves, but they will help you if you reach out. And so you can't just always put it on, oh, that person didn't call me this week, they must not be thinking about me, because that's just usually not true.
Yeah, I think that in general, if we can speak in generalities, I think that homeschool moms are probably some of the most like helpful, will share any resources, would literally show up at your door with a stack of books and say, here's all the things I own, take what you need. And I mean, for the most part, that's been my experience. So Carly, what do you feel like you have gained from community as you've experienced it?
I feel like it's an ever-changing event. I know as a young mom, I was just wanting someone who had a child like mine. As a brand new homeschooler, I was wanting to answer the question, what do you do? Today, I feel more secure in my homeschooling, to a point. I feel like if someone were to message, well, someone did message me today and ask, what do you do? And I felt confident in saying, this is what I do. So when she asked me, what do you do throughout the day? I didn't feel like giving her a 6-page paragraph of all of the things I do. And I could give her a snippet of, this is what we do. And in that, I felt like we were building some community. She actually just borrowed some books to look at for her kids. This year, I feel like for me, I gained the sense of having a family with my community. I think I learn just as much from answering questions from someone as I would if I were to ask them myself. So I know a couple weeks ago when we had practicum, someone stood up to introduce himself and said, I was the reason they joined the co-op. And I felt so good about that. I actually remember messaging her, and when she decided, and I just answered questions the way I would if I was asking them. And so that was just really nice to hear that I had made someone find her family and her community as a, because at the time, well, no, she still is. She is a parent with an only child, and she, I actually was in a group with her when our kids were younger, and I remember her looking for the same thing I was, just your people, someone that is doing things similar to you. So I feel like community, you gain a sense of family.
I like what you said early in your answer there, that you said that it's ever changing. And that's so important to hold on to, I think, because we don't like change. Like, as humans, we do not like change. And it's fluid. That community is fluid. And I know in terms of our co-op in general and life in general, people come and go. There are people that are going to decide to put their kids back in public school, and you sort of lose that common connection with them because now their life looks a little bit different. You've got people who have major traumatic, terrible things that happen, and then their life looks different on the other side of that. And knowing that it's not a forever, like it's not the same thing every single year, it's going to be very fluid and very ever-changing, makes you want to hold your arms open a little bit wider and say, come on, like, come on in, because we're all here together. You know what I mean? Yeah,
totally. Yes, I would completely agree with ever-changing. You know, my thoughts on homeschooling has changed. My husband's thoughts on homeschooling has changed. And I think really, it's seeing the different ways it can be done, and it's seeing it without community and now with community, or different, you know, different types of community. And it's good to see that maybe this year's fit wasn't right for you, but don't give up yet. And I know that's where we were, you know, our first thought was, well, we're moving back to the States. Okay, we can put them in, you know, a private school or whatever. Or maybe I'd go back to work. And I said, you know, I want to give having a community a chance. it would be really awesome to see what it's like having a co-op. And so we did, we searched around, and even within searching for co-ops, you know, you're going to find things that maybe, you know, are not your cup of tea, and you know that one's not right, but you keep searching. We have friends that are still searching. You just keep searching until you find that right fit, or at least something that fills that void and that bucket for you and for your kids. And so, you know, maybe it is that sports team or something on the side. You know, maybe you do have a thriving church community of whatnot. So you just keep looking. And so if we hadn't, I really, even with when we were looking, you know, I'd signed up for a different co-op, and God orchestrated that that was not the co-op we would be in. And I looked at a co-op that I'd never really thought I would be interested in, and it wound up fitting us to a T. It fulfills, you know, my daughters, and it also gave my husband, who was still on board but not all the way there with, can we do this through high school? You know, that's kind of where he's looking at. And this gave us, this particular co-op finally finding our you know, our fit, gave us the fruit that he wanted to see. Really, he sees that I'm at peace. He sees, you know, so much of what we've gained is those like-minded friendships, and we have gained such a huge diversity in the academics that we're learning that I wouldn't have picked for myself. But that's where you have all these different resources and friends, and, you know, pointing you to different directions, and you can really just thrive in ways that you wouldn't necessarily think that you would. And now his outlook on the future, you know, he's telling people, oh, you should give homeschooling a try. And I promise that's only a God thing. Mm-hmm. So it's just really been a sweet experience, but I wouldn't change having no real community or, you know, homeschool community co-op or whatnot, because it let me know that I could do it. And ultimately, we just need God as our strength. And it showed us just so much about this was his calling. You know, this was his decision for our life. It wasn't where we thought we would end up. And I kid that if this were the reason he took us to Jamaica and, you know, had us go through, you know, being missionaries and living there for 3 years and giving up everything to come home to we didn't leave hardly anything behind, you know, our family. And we are so thankful to be back by them, but it was just such a big deal. It still would have been worth it. You know, it still is so sweet to see that he had homeschooling in our path from the very beginning.
That was so good. There are a couple of things that you said that I really loved. But I love how you said, you know, God is the one that provides and the one that sustains us in this journey. Like, it's not up to a community to make sure that we succeed. God is the one that called us into this, and he's the one that's going to get us through it. I was talking with a new homeschool mom this morning, and her son is going into kindergarten, and she was just asking me a bunch of questions, and she just said, I just don't know. I'm looking at a bunch of different co-ops, and I just don't know yet. I'm kind of thinking that I'm just not going to join one his first year. I think I'm just going to, and she, knowing that I'm in a co-op, and as a director, you know, I thought maybe I should have kind of pushed her towards finding one, but I know that's not the right answer. But she said, maybe I'll just get connected with other homeschool moms and just, you know, kind of be in community with them. And I was like, ding, ding, there you go. Like, that's it right there. That's the secret sauce. Just being in community with people can look totally different. You don't have to join a co-op. Like, that's not, you know, gonna fail or pass you in this homeschool journey. And when you said, I'm so glad that this was a part of the journey, because God is the one that provides and sustains. And then when you said, we know by the fruit, I just thought that was so good. Like, we know that this is right. This community, this is a good fit because of the fruit. If we're stressed, if our kids are struggling, if, you know, if things are hard, if friendships are hard and things aren't clicking, or, you know, what we're trying to force our way through this co-op, this community or whatever, it's probably not a good fit. But you will know by the fruit.
Man, that's really good. Like,
yeah, when you said that, I was like,
that's really, really good.
That's good stuff.
And if you're in community with that kind of people, that it's stressful. Like, It isn't your fit. Find some different people.
Not that it won't be challenging.
Yeah.
And not that you don't need to be stretched.
You have to work for community. I think we've established
you
that.
You can be stretched. Right? You can be stretched and not overwhelmed. Like, you know the difference. You know when I need to step out and do something. I need to be challenged. I need to, you know, not pull your own weight in that way. Like, I got to do something here too. I need to be a part of this. And there's a difference between that and, like, this is stressful and I'm not at peace. I don't have peace about this.
I think with co-ops, a lot of times, I mean, for me personally, it was not necessarily the money, but do I have to spend that? Can I not just do that at home? And yes, you totally can. You can do the science experiment at home. You can do all that. But if you're paying for it, you're going to show up. Everyone's going to show up. You hold more accountability in that. And a lot of times as moms or families or even dads, you can just stay home, but if you paid for it, you're going to show up. And so a lot of times it kind of takes you out of that, well, I don't have to go today, because you're like, no, I'm going to go. It's better. And a lot of times that's where some other groups may fail, is it's, hey, you just show up if you want to, which is great. But if you want to have a thriving community, sometimes you just have to put yourself out there. And if that means paying for it, that's okay. If it means starting it yourself and showing up, even if no one else does, and you sit there with just your kids, at least they saw you show up.
Right. And I want to say something to that. It's been 3 years since I joined this particular community. Mm-hmm. And I can remember the entire first year. And this is no reflection on y'all. It's just the entire first year, I remember telling my husband, I don't know if I made the right choice. Like, we had had a different community we were very involved with, and we jumped out of there and came over to this campus.
For the same reason that we started it, mm-hmm. to make room.
Right, to make room for some other people at this other, at the other group. And that was fine. It was a decision I was at peace with, but I can remember being like, okay, but I really miss my other friends and I really miss my kids' other friends. And my husband was like, you are going to finish this year. You're going to stay in. You said you were going to do this. And what ended up happening was something way more beautiful, because the people that my kids are in community with and the people that I'm in community with now, I would not give that up for the world. But there was a speed bump there. If I'm just being honest, yeah. I mean, it was hard that first year.
I've definitely had speed bumps. I was my first year, obviously, I'd never seen it before, but even years past that, I've definitely been a, let's just see how it goes. Every year I would make the decision. And I think, I mean, we're going into year five, and I think this was probably my second year to be like, well, of course I'm just doing it, because I finally feel confident in being able to do that. But I've had speed bumps. Yeah, every year.
Was it last summer? This time last summer, I was telling Brittany, I'm not coming back. I'm out. Do you remember this? And people were like, yeah,
right. For like
right.
the past 2 years.
Yeah, actually. The past, yeah.
I've definitely told that to my husband, just probably not others. And he's always said, no, you won't. Yeah. You will go back, because yeah. you see how your kids thrive in it.
But I think what we're saying is it's hard fought. Like,
yeah.
It is not just something that shows up and magically happens.
Yeah.
That's a fairy tale.
Which might not be like the most encouraging thing to say to people. Like, you're gonna have speed bumps and moments where you're like, am I doing the right thing? You know, because we're talking about community, right? We're talking about friendships and stuff like that. But
of imperfect people.
That's right.
Yes.
I think it's important to know that those speed bumps are there, because if you're filling a lull for a year, sometimes that's just the season you're in, and you fight through it, and then the next year can be beautiful.
Yeah. And aren't you glad that you're in a community of people that you can reach out to and say, I'm feeling like this, like I'm struggling with this. This, you know, I'm just kind of feeling like I don't know really what the next move is, what the next step is. You know, you have other people that can say, oh man, I totally get it. Been there. Or I'm right there right now. Like, how do we get through this?
I remember my very first year, someone telling me, just wait till February. And I never understood that. It possibly was.
That is her thing,
because
to say.
February, it just seems like you come off the holidays. And it was.
It's
it was
bad.
My first February was so hard. And I was so appreciative that someone said that to me, or I probably would have quit because it was, I could not figure it out. And I've told every person that starts homeschooling, I was like, don't make a decision in February.
That's right. Don't ever, or even February to like April. Sometimes depending on the weather, we got all this.
That's true. I mean, weather definitely makes a
difference. Makes a big difference. But
ironically, February was that month for me. That's when we came home this year. So February is a big month.
It's just a month. Just don't do anything. It's only 28 days. Just skip it. It's fine.
Just skip it. Just go to sleep.
I know, it's my son's birthday too. He'd be like, no. But that ties it all back to being honest with each other and being vulnerable with each other and not being afraid to talk about our struggles, talk about what's actually going on in our life, and not being fake with each other. If you're fake, you're never going to have that kind of community.
Okay, so just to wrap this up, what encouragement can we give to somebody who is, maybe they're stuck, or they're needing community? Maybe, I mean, there are so many different situations that somebody could be in. I mean, we brainstormed so many different scenarios of people that might need encouragement and need community for different situations and circumstances. But what could we say to them?
I would say step out of your comfort zone. That's
yeah. I was gonna say, be brave enough to reach out. Like, just don't assume no one's out there for you. And like we were talking about earlier, just if you have a little random act of kindness, I promise a sweet tea on someone's doorstep is going to make you a lifelong friend real fast. You know, it doesn't have to be a big thing. And if you all you can do is muster, like, I need prayer for this, that starts a conversation. And people, they're going to be there for you. You know, we want to relate to others. And when you show that vulnerability and show that, hey, I want to be a part, but I just can't be a part. You know, when you find that Facebook group that fits you, you know, answer the questions even when you don't really want to answer the question, because it shows that you're there. You know, it shows that someone cares about that person wherever they are in the world, and you automatically have a connection. And so just don't take those little things for granted.
I think that it's important to validate that it's okay to feel like you don't know where to go next, and it's okay to reach out. Like, someone may not answer, but someone's going to answer. Some mom or even dad or a grandparent or someone is going to say, yes, do it. Or, hey, I know someone that also homeschools. I know someone you can talk to. I mean, that's happened to me more than once in random situations. And I'm like, whoa, I had no idea, but thank you. You run into people and it just flows. You sometimes just have to make sure to say, hey, what do you do with your kids?
Or if you're the working parent that is also the homeschool parent, I've seen that scenario, you know, find someone that is in that situation and ask them, and you will just reap so much from that. You will see a schedule. I mean, half the time people will text you, you know, a picture of exactly what they do. How do they make that work? When do they do their laundry? You know, don't be afraid to say, hey, I know God's called me to homeschool, but I don't know what that looks like because of X, Y, Z happening in our life. You know, if he's called you to it, he will equip you for it and he will make it happen. So if you are obedient and just show up, you know, if you show up, he will sustain you, like Brittany was saying earlier.
That's very good. And I would also add that if you are already a part of a community, or maybe you're not the one seeking community, that you be receptive and, that might be the best word for it. When you hear that cry in somebody else's voice, you know, because it might not be a direct message to you. You might just see somebody post on social media and just say, man, I really wish that I knew other homeschool families, or I really wish this wasn't so hard. It might not even be that outright, but XYZ, I can't afford it to be in a co-op, or I'm working and still trying to homeschool. You know, there may be, you know, different things that they might say. Just be receptive of that person that is blessed to be in a group, in a community already, whether or not it's a co-op or, you know, another type of community that we've talked about. Be sensitive enough to see that cry for help and say, hey, we have Park Wednesdays. Come on, join us. Or we know a mom that does work and homeschool at the same time. Or, you know, she figures it out. And another mom saw this, noticed this, and said, hey, why don't I take your kid one day a week? You know, I have a kid his age. Let him come over and he can school here and you can, while you're at work or whatever. And I thought that was such a creative way to reach out and give this kid some friend time, your kid some friend time, give her a break, and also let her feel like she's a part of something, even though she's technically at work. But anyway, I just thought that would be cool if people were just looking out for each other.
Yeah, I think that there's this misconception that just because we have a podcast about homeschooling, we're just like, we have all the community and it all happened and it's so easy and it's great. And then we have people message us that are like, I wish that we had something like y'all had. And I think that we just really wanted to say, like, then go build it.
Yeah.
You know, come join us if you're local, go build it if you're not.
It's filled with dreams, right? If you build it, they will come.
It's the truth though. It really is.
It literally is. Yes.
It really is. One of the themes of our year as a community and as a co-op this year, it was a phrase that kept being brought up over and over. And the phrase is keep building a bigger table. So Brittany, what do you think? What does that mean to you, Brittany?
How dare you?
First, why? Second, how dare you?
I think it means keep pulling up a chair. Keep adding people. Your table can keep getting bigger.
Well, I think that it can mean a couple of different things. Carly mentioned, you know, pull up a chair. Because it can mean that. You know, if I build a table but nobody brings their chair to it, like, the table's not gonna get bigger. I can build it as big as I want, but if people don't seek community, then it's just a useless table. And also for your community, whether that's a co-op or, you know, just a group of moms that meet at the park or whatever, you know, it can be so tempting to just put your arms around your group and say, we're protecting us.
Yeah, we're protecting this little culture that we've created here. Yes,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're protecting, which sounds pretty cliquish to me, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you can build a vision, or, you know, we have a vision for our group. We even have a statement of faith. Like, you know, you can come with what you believe, but this is what we're going to go by. Like, you know, so there are those things that you can build into that. But it's like, would Jesus do that? Would Jesus say, oh, sorry, table's closed, you can't sit with me? No, we know very well that he allowed everybody at his table. Now they, you know, I think they all left changed in one way or the other. You know, we don't know every single person that he encountered, but he didn't make them leave. He didn't tell them, you're not welcome here. So yeah, just have room, make room for people.
And you know? don't be closed off and be like, I'm sorry that we've never met before. You're not invited to the park. I mean, I think that there is that pervasive that happens.
Yeah. And I mean, because really, you know, we get scared like this person's not going to fit or, you know, whatever. When really, I mean, it's a two-way street. They may come to you, check out your group, your community, and decide that for themselves. You know, it's not just, I don't know, if you stand up with your arms crossed and you're like, nope, you look weird, you sound weird, I don't think it's going to work.
But what if it's not about you at all, but what if the entire purpose of you inviting them to the park day was that they met somebody else that's in mm-hmm. your group that you had no idea about either of their struggles, but they bonded over their struggles and now they've got community that you're not even a part of.
Yeah.
But you are just faithful to listen to the Holy Spirit saying, invite them to the park, invite them to whatever it is that you're doing.
Yeah. But if you don't make room at your table, you'll never know.
Right. There's a lot of lost community that way.
Thanks again for joining us. We hope you were blessed and encouraged today. Check us out on social media at The Deeply Rooted Homeschool. We'll see you next time.